We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. Why won't you date me? It's a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out why I'm still single, even though if you push me out of bed every single night, I won't complain. I'll just climb right back in and apologize to you for whatever I've done. My guest today, you know her. She's got a Comedy Central half hour. She's written on Broad City. She is just so funny. She's writing on a new HBO show right now starring Katherine Hahn. And I just, she wrote on Great News. You've done so much. It makes me so happy. All right, put your little hands together in your room. Start clapping. It's Naomi Berrigan.
Thank you guys so much for coming. Give it up for Nicole.
thank you. Yes, thank you for coming out to this this live podcast event. Where nobody's here, it's okay.
But we are giving you our all, okay? There is stage presence in the moment.
Yes, there's so much stage presence that has been wasted on just Marissa. Okay, Naomi, you have been in a relationship for
almost
39 years.
Almost 9 years.
Damn.
It will be 9 years in March. And that's, I am just as shocked and disgusted as you are.
Crazy. So how did you meet Jew Boo? That's what you call
your... Yes, my Jewish boo. He does have a name. And I guess we can call him Andy, but between us, it's Jew Boo.
And we... Do you call him Jew Boo at home?
No, not now. It all started, like, I started calling him that... You know that time when you're, like, dating somebody before you're, like, for real, and they're, like, not a real person, but you fucking do stand-up, but you gotta call them something?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
where it, like, started, where I was like, I got a little Jew Boo, you know, before he was a person, and then, you know.
And then he became a person, and then you were like, I'll call him by his government name?
Among close personal friends.
Does he call you anything?
No, he does not.
You don't have nicknames?
No. No, no, no.
I read an article months and months ago that said, you should have a nickname.
Really? Like, lovers should have nicknames?
Mm-hmm. But honestly, you're going on 9 years, so, like, fuck that article.
I know. I mean, literally, one of the things I say to him as a term of endearment is, like, I will call him a stupid bitch. But it's like us having a very tender time. I'll be like, you stupid bitch.
And what does he say?
He laughs. He knows. And honestly, I've never felt closer to a person.
Aww.
Being able to call them a stupid bitch and, like, know it's going to be fine.
I call people dum-dums as a term of endearment.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes men really don't like them.
Well, you know they're very sensitive.
Men are so sensitive.
They're delicate flowers.
They truly are. And they're the true snowflakes of the world.
Thank you. But you know what? Not even, because they ain't even all that unique. Okay? It's about 10 types of men. Okay?
I agree. So 9 years, that's almost a decade. That's a good chunk of time.
It is.
Is this your longest relationship?
Oh, my God. By 8 years and 4 months.
Well, damn.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what I was doing.
So your first relationship only lasted 8 months?
Yes. And then so the first real, like the long, no, just not even for like the most real. Like I was with somebody for like 6 months in college. Mm-hmm. Maybe another, so like freshman year of college, there was like that dude you meet the first week of college. And mm-hmm. I come from a school, you know, where nobody was checking for me. So the moment a guy was like, can I see your titty? I was like, here you go. You know what I mean? Like I was in.
What school was this?
It was just like a private school in New York where like nobody was checking for no black girl. No chubby black girl with a spectacle and
you
braces.
You were chubby?
Oh, yeah.
How chubby?
I mean, I feel like what I, like the size I am now, but shorter. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like at a time where nobody, like when I was like, you know, 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so I was like bigger than other kids. Just,
sure.
You know, all them white girls were very skinny. They were wearing zeros.
Hold on. I have to read you this text from my sister. She just texted me at 1:47. Have you ever stared at a guy in a wheelchair? Not because he's in a wheelchair, but because he's really cute. But as you're processing it, you kind of make the guy feel uncomfortable. I'm sorry, I just had to read that.
Oh, that is good.
My sister walks through life maybe just being the most thoughtful person. In a way where you're like, what? So you stared at this man in a wheelchair because he was cute and then started texting probably right, while you're staring at him. So now this man in the wheelchair is like, great, another person staring at me because I'm in a wheelchair. And now she's telling people about staring at me and while I'm in a wheelchair. Should I think I'm going to text her, go up to him and hit on him.
Hit on him hard. Explain that you were staring because he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And just see where it goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, is he alone is the question. Because I don't assume that just because he's in a chair that he's not rolling with some people.
Yeah, he might be dating someone, you know?
Right. Or like he's hanging out with a group. Are you approaching mm-hmm. a group with a man in a wheelchair? Are you approaching one lone man in a wheelchair at a corner?
I mean,
I need details.
She said she left in shame. go back. We'll end this saga as soon as she texts back. She just, he was alone.
Okay, man, that was her chance.
That was her chance.
That could be her husband.
It really could. They could have, you know, rolled away in love together.
Hello? Getting you that know? Easy parking for
yes.
the rest of your damn life?
Yes, that would have been nice.
That would have been it.
Oh, poor Catherine.
She tries her best, I assume.
I mean, when I see a man in the wild, I will hit on him because I leave no stone unturned.
Yep.
She said this was 20 minutes ago. I think he left by now. Well, and that's the conclusion of that. My sister almost found a husband, but she got scared and ran away.
She overthought it.
Wait, what is this shirt you're wearing?
It just says, all humans are equal.
Were you at the Women's March today?
Oh, no, I don't march. I got this I got this from Michelle Buteau.
Okay.
I'm just wearing right. this.
So you don't march?
No, oh, Lord. For the record, I care about causes. Mm. I donate. I make calls. I am a black woman daring to dream. So that's step one. And then I do other stuff. But the mm-hmm. actual act of marching is not my chosen form of
Fair.
Resistance.
Fair. I also just didn't even know it was happening today until I drove downtown. A ton of streets were closed. And then there was, like, people with signs,
That's
and I was like,
why.
I almost got into an accident because I was like, what does this bitch's sign say? And it was truly nothing interesting. It was just like, women are women. And I was like, I can't believe I almost hit a Volkswagen just to see that women are women. Oh, I was so mad.
Oh.
Okay, so you were an awkward, chubby black girl.
Yes.
And then you blossomed into a beautiful
non-awkward black woman.
Wow, thank you so much, because I still feel so awk.
You're
not. I'm kind of like Catherine. I live in my head the way it sounds like she does.
Ah.
Like overthinking every little thing. Like literally last night, I did not bring a comic on properly on his own show. I didn't realize we were tag teaming the intro. Oh. I thought the other person was coming back. And then I've literally been up since 4:48 a.m. That's mental illness, Nicole. It's mental illness.
It might be a little bit of anxiety.
A little?
Oh.
A little?
Are you on anxiety medication?
Not right now. I do need to find the cocktail that works for me.
Fair. I talk about therapy a lot because I think people shouldn't wait till the last moment to get help.
Hello.
I think if you feel like you need to talk to someone, you should really reach out and do it as soon as you feel that way. And like 2 years ago, I got into a point where I was like, I think I need somebody who's interested in my life but has no real stakes in my life that I need to talk to.
Yes.
And that's what I think the dream about therapy is. It's like this person cares about you, but like the rest of the 6 days of the week they don't see you. They're not like, you know, thinking, like they're not waiting for you or whatever. But then I got on ADHD medication and that was super helpful. And then my psychiatrist was like, I think you're like a touch bipolar. And I was like, oh, okay.
Just a touch.
Oh, boy. Let's get it fixed. And then I never found the cocktail that worked for me and worked for my body.
It's really hard and it's really frustrating. And I think that's why so many people end up self-medicating, myself included, like in the past, because you're like, okay, why don't you take some shit, holler at me in 6 to 8 weeks and see where you're at. I ain't got 6 to 8 weeks. This situation is dire. What do you think I pay you for? You know what I mean? And that's the problem is that when you're in it, because I also agree, like you got to go before it's bad. And I have a friend who always says, he's like, it's easier to talk when it doesn't hurt so that when it does hurt, you know what to do, you know? And like, you don't have to be like, oh, like Juba and I, we've been in couples therapy for like 5.5 years. We good. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't go because it was, like, a problem. But it was, like, there were certain issues. And, you know, they say couples sometimes, like, you end up having the same fights over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, we got engaged. And I was like, all right, I'm in. But we're going to have to figure out how to not have the same fucking argument. Or at least have it not go to the same place every time.
And you know? How many years were you guys together before you got engaged?
3. Sweet.
Girl,
I've been engaged about 6 years.
Did not know that.
I'm glad, actually, because it's to the point where we've been engaged so long, people are now starting to worry. You know what I mean? It's always like, are you guys still together?
Are you going to do it?
Are you good? You know? So, good. I'm glad you forgot. I wanted to feel as fresh as possible.
I just knew you were together, and I knew that if you had a wedding, I would hope to be invited. Okay, so no confirmation on that one.
Look, girl, okay. If I get money for a guest list like that, you on the list.
If
I get my guest, but see, here's my whole thing with weddings too, though. Like, would you, if be real yourself, would you really want to come to my wedding? Like, do you like weddings?
I love a wedding.
You do? Okay.
Because I love seeing who got an invite. One, first and foremost, I love being like, yes, okay. Okay, I see you. I see who you invited. Two, I love to see who's dressed inappropriately for a wedding.
Oh, my God.
Who's too cash and who has slutted it up too hard that grandpa's breaking his neck to look at your friends.
Literally, there's nothing I love more than like a slutty wedding vibe.
Yes.
When somebody comes through in like a fucking bandage dress with a deep V.
Yes.
I'm like, girl, you came
to win. It's like you came to fuck all the groomsmen.
Literally. And that's like, get it. Just get it while you can get it.
I love it. And then I specifically love a comedy wedding because I'm like, how much are we going to talk about comedy to alienate the family who knows nothing about comedy? So to answer your question, I fucking love a wedding.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know.
I love a wedding.
Sometimes I feel like with weddings, it's like people, it's like they want the principle of like, well, I want to have been invited.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll be like, but do you actually like me? Take a beat. Not in a bad way, but the way, like, we don't like everybody or don't care about everybody. Uh-huh. It's like, take a beat. Because to me, I don't, like, I won't go to weddings unless I'm, like, close to you and the act of seeing you marry this person will move me to tears.
Yes.
Because everything else is like, I got to pay to get there and
you
stay.
You are correct.
And you need a present. It's, like, a lot. And to me, I'm like, why am I spending all this money? Because you got a man. You got the man. You good. Now you need money out of my hard-earned cash.
Yes. Weddings are kind of like GoFundMes.
They are.
Come to my wedding and bring me fucking presents so I can move into the next chapter of my life with this person that I'm so lucky to have found. Aren't you jealous? The answer is absolutely. I am fully jealous. I would love to figure out when I'm going to get a husband. I mean, at this point, I don't know anymore.
I will say this, though. You know, obviously, I'm off the streets, but I do, you know, I still know the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It hits me like the shit was yesterday. And I also feel like L.A. is a hard-ass place to date.
Yes.
It's like, and first of all, because, you know, because it is so spread out, not only is it hard to meet anybody naturally, but then the work of once you start dating, it's automatically work. Mm-hmm. I gotta get in my car and go to you. Mm-hmm. You gotta go to me. Even the first date might be an issue of valet, and you automatically put in a certain level of work that says, I want this, before you even really know the person.
Yep. Uh-huh. And I try to, like, if I go on, like, more than 3 dates with somebody, I tell them, I'm like, I like you.
Yes.
I like you a lot, because I'm hoping that you get the subtext that, like, I flew back early. I didn't have to come back to LA for 2 days to see you.
Right.
I could have just stayed on the East Coast and like did whatever. But it is so much work from the jump.
Yeah.
Like traffic, getting out of your car. Yeah, you're right with like the fucking valet. We were like, great, we went to a place that only has valet. Mm-hmm. There is no parking. The valet is $4,000 and my finger. And I mean, you're like, great, and then we're going to eat, you know, shitty food or have shitty fucking drinks that are so expensive.
And then have a whack-ass general. It's basically a whack-ass general that you pay for.
It is like a general. And if there's non-industry heads listening, a general for an actor is you go meet an executive and they ask, where are you from? How'd you get into comedy?
What are you watching? What are you into?
So this has been great. If I ever cast a project again, I'll let you know. And you're like, cool. So I drove to Sony, which took me 52 minutes.
Oh, that's if you're lucky.
And they told me to park at one gate, but they meant the other one. So I walked across the fucking lot. Sure, I got my rainbow picture, but this was pointless.
It's like, that's like what it is. But then it's like hard. But I feel like too, it's like, you know, because obviously I listen to the pod. I know you. The last time I ran into you, we were at the Virgil.
Yes.
And you were just about to.
You crushed. I had to follow you. I was so devastated.
What are you talking? I'm always like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm doing a Nicole Byer.
Crushed. You were so funny. Thanks, and then I did new stuff. New stuff sucks because it doesn't work yet, you know?
Well, I know. I'm in that right now. And, like, also how hard it is to force yourself to do new stuff.
Especially in LA shows because you're like, I just need my laughs so I can go home.
And feel better.
And feel better about my life.
Well, that's literally what happened last night. I was on a show where, like, I got asked to do it last minute and I only agreed to do it because I was like, it's sold out. It's going to be, like, a fun mm-hmm. one. It's going to be a good one, you know? And I needed to go and win. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, I needed that. And it wasn't bad, mm-hmm. but I didn't win.
Yes. Don't you hate shows like that? Where you're like, they were laughing, they were on board, but the way that joke crushes, it didn't quite hit the... I didn't get the applause break that I wanted in my normal spot. But, like, it was fine. And people after the show told me it was great. But, like, it just wasn't... Amazing.
Girl, I left after. I didn't even wave anybody say really? A word. I was just like, get me out of here. Like, I was like, it was like very like I, in my head, you know, like I meant to be like Dorothy Dandridge.
Uh-huh.
Give me a big sunglass. I'm walking out a side door no matter where I'm going. You know what I mean? No one knows who I am, but that's fun for me. / am I fearful of people? And so,
sometimes I'm fearful of people.
Right? A little bit?
A little bit.
I mean, especially in different where people do put expectations on you. You know, having had seeing you, you know, mm-hmm. and thinking they know you, and because you're a warm person though too. So
thank you.
You know, I also feel like too, you're one of those people where like who you are on camera is not too far from who you are in real life. So it's not like you have to do too much shape shifting.
I would say,
but it's work.
I'm friendlier on camera than I am in person. like last night, I had done a show an improv show. It was a real fun show. It was really fun. I had a great time. And then afterwards, we were getting a drink, and this guy came up to me, and he was like, hey, we were so excited to see you, me and my friends. And I was like, oh, thank you. And he's like, my friends are too shy to talk to you. So I came over, and I was like, oh, you're the elected person. Right. We tee-heed about that. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, almost didn't recognize you because your hair's different. And I said, that's by design. He goes, oh, so you don't want to be recognized? I was like, oh, no, I'm kidding. But also, it's by design. And I was like, also, I changed my hair up so much, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we all really wanted to yell, nailed it at you. And I was like, what?
On stage?
I think that's what he meant. And I was like, here is a teachable moment. You never have to yell, nailed it at me, because I was there when we shot it. And I know it. And you don't have to.
No.
And I told him a story about this man who almost hit me, who yelled, almost nailed it. And I was like, so like, we can all just stop screaming, nailed it at me. And then he was like, oh, so you don't like it? And I was like,
oh God,
no. And then he went, nailed it. And I was like, what? We just went through. And I went, oh, okay. And then he like scurried out with all of his friends. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'm not as friendly. I seem like I'm approachable, but then I'm like, please don't yell, nailed it. And then it's a part of the zeitgeist, so people say it all the time.
Right.
And every time someone's like, oh, yeah, you really nailed it, I'm like, triggered. And now I truly understand what the word triggered means. Because I'm like,
one phrase takes you back to a moment in time.
Oh, boy. Wait, can you tell me about couples therapy?
Oh, yeah. You mean...
Is that too personal?
Oh, us going, I live in a sick world where I both have a podcast and live show called Couples Therapy and attend actual couples therapy.
Yes, yes.
But you know the show part. Actual couples therapy.
Whose idea was it?
Oh, mine.
Okay.
Mine. And we were doing it in New York at this place called NIP, which, National Institute for Psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. So it's like a teaching place, you know, but most of those people, they're like getting their hours in before they can do their own thing. So they've all been educated and are just like banking clients. And what I love about them is it's all about that sliding scale, okay?
Yes.
Because for a large portion of our relationship, we were not employed at the same time ever. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, we got to do this, but we both know we broke. Okay, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
And so we would go there, and our first couples therapist was this young Israeli woman who had like served in the army, but was now a yoga practitioner as well as a therapist. She had very good neutral therapist face.
Okay.
Which I personally don't like. Like, I like to know my therapist's background
because
I think it does kind of inform what they think is normal, what they think is, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you've read some books, but like, it's going to come down to what your mama told you.
Yes.
You know? And she was just like tough. She was like a little tough. And then we had her for maybe a year. And then she went on maternity leave and was like, here's another colleague. And he is our guy. Like, we still Skype with him from LA. He's like number one.
That's nice. It's nice to find your person. My therapist, I clicked with her like immediately.
Oh, that's...
And then she just served me some real truths that I was like, Oh, a lot of our work is me talking, her saying something pretty poignant, me not listening, and then 3 weeks later, her repeating it, and then me going, oh, she did say that 3 weeks ago, and then being like, oh, and then me implementing it in my life, and then being like, oh, okay. Like,
you get like, well, I love that idea of what you can implement in your life, because that's what I feel like I'm not getting in personal therapy. We're like doing too much talking, and she keeps telling me to like not be hard on myself. And I'm like,
but that
that's
is
not helpful.
Something you can implement in your life, because Mary's always like, be the nice person in your life to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you do a show that goes poorly, don't beat yourself up about it because there's other shows.
Right.
But what you can do is like listen to the recording, see what maybe you were off. Maybe something happened. Maybe it was the audience. There's so many different variables. You don't have to directly blame yourself. Or like, if you look in the mirror and you're like, ugh, I look terrible today, you'd be like, well, maybe in an hour I won't look terrible. But I accept right now that I don't really like what I look like. But like, but let's not harp on that. Let's just move on.
Right.
What can I do to make myself feel pretty? Put on a wig.
Right.
Put on a pair of shoes you haven't worn in a while. So, like, Mary is very much like, allow yourself to have the feelings, but don't dwell, because they're not, it's not a means to an end. Like, you being sad or upset or, like, hard on yourself isn't going to last forever.
Oh,
so,
I
like,
thought you were
gonna
say, isn't
it.
Going to help. It is the most tiring thing I could possibly do.
It is tiring.
It's so tiring.
It's like, just like acknowledge that you're upset about something and then move on.
Right.
Or acknowledge your feelings and move on.
Yeah.
That's a Maryism. And truly, I try very hard to implement it. But then sometimes I'll like just be in my house sobbing and be like, oh, you can stop at any time. life will be good tomorrow.
I was literally having a good morning cry today. I've been up, you know, 4:48 a.m. And then I had a good cry around 6:50. Mm-hmm. Then again at 11:42.
What's it like to cry when you have a partner?
Well, I'll tell you how I did it this time.
Uh-huh.
I was in the living room.
Oh, okay.
I was out in the living room, honey.
Yes, yes.
Because I'll tell you this, you know, since moving to LA, we're together so much more than we were in New York because we don't have our separate friend groups. We pretty much like know the same people. And it's like, we don't have a car yet and we both kind of want to be social. So I'll be like, okay, let's go to this together.
Uh-huh.
But we're together all the fucking time. So now when I, like when I'm having emotions, I'm like, I gotta go somewhere else with this. Do you know what I mean? Like, just for the giving him the break, not even that he wouldn't be receptive as much as I'm like, not every single thing can be discussed with you all the time. And I don't think I knew that in the beginning. I literally was like, the point of a relationship is to have this person, you know, that you can bring in everything to. I very, you know, because I was always described and perceived as being a lot, you know? And so... It was funny, like, right before I met Andy, I was very much in the mindset, I was like, I'm never going to find a dude who's, like, gets it. I'm never going to find one who's, like, good enough. So, just, like, but I knew I'm too, like, sensitive to just, like, have sex. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, this is my life. And not in a sad way. Like, I really was just like, they're all basic and boring. So I'm not going to be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
And then this little petite treat comes in. And I was like, wow, for somebody who looked delicate as fuck, you can kind of hang. He's delicate, y'all, but he can hang.
I love it. Hold on. We have to take a break. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/date me. Okay. Hey,
Did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho! Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
And we're back.
Oh, thank God.
Isn't that a treat? I am at the point right now where I think I'm going to be alone for this next chunk of my life until, I guess, people start getting divorced. And then I can, like, slide in and be like, hey, so, like, round one didn't work out. Are you ready for round two with me?
Oh, don't say such a thing. But here's my question for you.
Yes.
Because I know it's like, what is your type?
I don't really have a type.
Personality-wise?
Well, personality-wise, I like a dude who is funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
I like a little bit of a weirdo because I'm a weirdo. Like, very much, I'll just, like, scream and stuff. Or, like, sometimes I like to leave a restaurant with a funny walk. So, like, you have to be okay with me, like, basically embarrassing you
You gotta
at
be
random times.
Unexpectedly.
You're not going to know when it's going to happen or when I'm going to walk funny or how funny it's going to be. But, like, just someone who enjoys being playful, attractive to me, which is a very subjective thing, because an ugly dude can end up being attractive because they're funny or whatever.
Right, of course, of course.
I would love somebody with a job.
Girl.
Their own money. And then I really, like, I keep saying, I was like, I don't really want a dude with dreams or a person with dreams. I want them to be living their dream.
Yes.
Sure,
yes,
you can want more. I want more out of my career, but I'm in a place where, like, I don't have a day job. Yeah, like, my day job is my job.
Right, right.
Which is a huge fucking blessing, and I feel very lucky that I can say that sentence and I don't take it for granted. And then, yeah, just someone who likes me.
Well, no, see, this is the thing, though. Because this is the thing I found back when I was out there trying to make love work,
mm-hmm.
trying to force, you know what I mean, like a crazy-ass man into a normal man's hole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Men are always going to be attracted to you because you're dynamic. So, but there's a difference. When I say attracted, they're going to gravitate. They're going to want to be near that. And you got to suss out the ones who are like, this is interesting,
mm-hmm.
or this, like, this is someone I'm down with. There's a difference. Not somebody who's like fucking, like, you know, assessing you or being like, huh. You know what I mean? Because I've had that. Like, I remember back when I would do shows, you know, and guys, like, the person who met me after a show was never the person I needed to be talking to.
Interesting.
It, to me, it was they would never, again, even though I don't think I'm that different, it's not like I'm, you know, I definitely, like, I don't tell lies on stage, you know what I mean? Like, the stories are the stories. But at the same time, to me, you like something. What you like is this, like, wouldn't it be cool to date a comedian?
I do feel like I get that a lot where people are cute. Like, I've been on a couple first dates that felt like interviews. I went on one. I don't know if I've talked about this one yet, but I went on one recently where he was, like, vaguely adjacent to comedy, but then was asking, like, too many questions about just, like, work and stuff. And I was like, ugh, this honestly, this feels like a general. It feels like a general meeting where you're taking in the information, but, like, I don't know if you actually care. Feels like you're just asking questions to be asking them. And then I would ask him questions, and he would have, like, one-word responses. And I truly felt like he didn't want me to know anything about him. So, yeah, it just, that was the last date I've been on. And that was the beginning of the year. I just went on the date to, like, as a palate cleanser.
Because
I had been dating, like, a lot at the end of last year.
You went, you got a ticket to the airport last time I saw you to go into a restaurant.
I did. I went to Guy Fieri's Burger Bar. I have since learned that there's an actual Guy's restaurant in Terminal B.
Wow.
But the internet told me it was only in Terminal A and it was only a burger joint. So I made this dude go with me to the wrong gate. He was worried that we wouldn't get scanned in. I was like, you shut the fuck up. And then we ate a delightful burger that was pretty good. And then I found out there's a full-ass restaurant on the other side. So now I gotta trick some other dude into going on another airport date with me. And they said I couldn't do it. I'll do it! I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna find a man who's gonna want it.
You're going on, like, an airport date is, like, very, like, fucking Manic Pixie 500 Days of Summer for me. You know what I mean? Like, very quickly, like, let's get a refundable ticket. And it's like, because you know what it is? Like, a date that's also an activity, a scavenger hunt, a moment in time that you will cherish forever.
Very dumb.
No, it's fun. But it's a good way to me. Like, that's why I like when you were like, oh, yeah, like on day three. Because I feel like I never really got to that point of being able to just be as direct as I want it to be. Because to me, I'm not just saying, like, people, like, want to play it cool or do whatever. Like, literally, like, the fucking three-day rules and everything are the worst things to happen to dating. You need to be you. Or else you're going to waste a whole lot of fucking time.
Yes. Also, I'm not a chill person. That's just not who I Same. Literally have a podcast where I'm like, okay, everybody, why am I single? Like, that's the unchillest thing a person can do. So, like, if I click with somebody, I feel, I'm like, I have to let you know.
Yeah.
I don't tell them, like, in a text because I feel like that's too much to read. Although I would love it. I would love it if someone texted me, I like you so much. I'd be like, oh my God. But I think with a man, it's like, oh God, she's fucking, she loves me. She wants to fucking get married. And it's like, yes, I do. But we don't have to talk about that yet. But yeah, three dates, four dates in, I'll, like, just say it. If they say it back, great. I've been met with, oh, okay. And I'm like, all right, well, no, I'll keep going out with you.
Not now? Nowadays you will. You'll still do it.
I will go out with someone until they put both hands on my shoulders and be like, go home. I never want to see you again. I will date someone until they're like, yucked, get out of here. Because I'm a desperate woman. No, I think when I spend so much time with somebody and investing my time into them, I'm like, we can make this work. Let's just make this work.
Oh, my God. Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, when you're just, like, trying to make somebody someone they're not. But also, too, like, and I think it is changing, but we're around the same age. Like, we grew up on the original Sex and the City. We grew up with some of these fucking gendered ideas that were kind of like, well, men are slower. Men are harder. It's like, we literally have made men, like, dim animals.
Yes.
That we are committed to potty training. So the problem is that, that's, like, the conceptualization of them kind of in culture when it comes to dating. So then it makes it so that you're like, well, he didn't say it back, but I know it takes time for guys, and they don't always have their word. Like, you're just like, we learn so many excuses for them, probably before we even take a dick. Before we have a dick in our mouth or in our hearts, we learn these fucking excuses.
I mean, you're right. And I do. I will make excuses for a dude. I'll just be like, I mean, I guess he's not texting me because, you know, he's busy. And it's like, well, with what?
Exactly.
What is anyone ever doing but just scrolling on their fucking phone?
Exactly.
He's not texting you because he doesn't want to be texting you. And I've told a couple people to be like, I need you to text me more. Like, I like to be in communication with somebody.
Right.
And it's funny because, like, when I'm not dating somebody, I'm like, I don't need to talk to whoever I'm dating every fucking day. And then when I'm dating someone, I'm like, I need to talk to you every fucking day. Okay?
Have you ever, like, dated? Because I remember I always had fantasies about, like, I always thought, because, again, when I reached my point where I was like, it's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, at this time, I was like, 25. That's how quickly I give up. And I was like, he's going to be a 47-year-old.
Okay.
European man.
Okay.
Where traveling and taking your time is part of their culture, mm-hmm. so it won't mean that he's emotionally damaged. And we will meet each other, and he will, like, you know, he'll be so delighted by me. You know what I mean? Like, the dynamism. He'll be like, oh, I love all this personality and attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever taken an older lover?
I have not. Everyone has been around my age or, like, a couple years, like, 2-3 years older, two years younger. I don't know if I'm here for an older man. I guess if I were to date an older man, it would have to be a black man.
Because he's going to be looking good.
Yes. Black, older, like Idris Elba.
Oh, hello.
My word.
I can't even.
I would just love that.
Can you? It's so funny because, like, I watched The Wire late. He had already been in some stuff, and everyone was like, Idris Elba, but I was like, I don't get it. And then for some reason, seeing him as a drug kingpin on The Wire, I was like, open and red. I was like, this is sensuality at its finest.
I'll tell you what did it for me. It's a movie called The Mountain Between Us. I'm the only person who's ever seen it. It stars him and Kate Winslet. It came and went. Nobody liked it. Except for me. Cut to me watching it on a Delta flight, just weeping. And then being, like, turned on and then weeping.
Which is any relationship, really.
Truly. I really love that movie, and I love Idris Elba. I think I would, I don't know, where do you find an older man?
But see, that's what I mean. Like, I mean, if the apps are going on, and I'm not saying so much older. I'm even saying just, like,
like, I think, 40.
Exactly. Like, I'm, like, a 10 years older, especially in a town like L.A., where people are so into, like, being fit and well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You could be 42 and be popping off. Because we both know some of these 30-year-old comedy boys up in here looking 57.
Huh? Some of them look disgusting.
They out here too many beers.
My favorite is a nasty-looking comedy boy with a gorgeous girlfriend. Because I'm like, so you'll fuck a dumpster because it makes you laugh? Where's my man who wants to fuck this little crusty little garbage can?
You are not crusty. I remember running into you at the Gelses, and you'll have a full beat on. And I'll be like, we at Gelses. And I just said, okay, Nicole, work. Hollywood Hills, baby.
I sometimes will put on a full face to go grocery shopping. Not today. I had a little bit too much tequila last night, so I'm wearing a matted wig that I barely brushed out and no makeup. And I thought these were longer leggings. I'm wearing capri leggings with platform Vans. I look crazy.
You're giving me 90s realness
right now.
Like a capri and a Vans.
Thank you.
It's like it's 1995
I
and
am
everything's
serving
great.
Something. So you were single for a little bit in New York. Did you do the apps or no?
Girl, I'm going to tell you, before the apps.
Because nine years, so you missed apps, yes?
It's funny. Andy and I, that's Jubu's real name. Let's respect his autonomy, his personhood. Anyway, we actually matched, again, we didn't know it at the time, on OkCupid. So that was as far as I got to apps. But I'll tell you this, and this is what I mean about apps and, like, going out, this is actually your type and going out your side of your comfort zone, because, like, when I saw him on OkCupid, I was like, no, because one, he's shorter than me, which I don't have a thing against a shorter guy, but if you're telling me the whole purpose of this app is to bring in exactly what I want, I'm not picking shorter. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it wasn't in my checklist. And then he said in his thing, like, one of the questions on OkCupid is, like, on a typical Friday night, I blank, and then you fit, right? And he said, probably improvising with my group, but I was like, hard-ass pass. I was like, absolutely not.
Yuck.
And so I, but it's funny because, like, I didn't put that together. When I met him in person, like, I didn't think of his picture. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It wasn't until later when I was going back to deactivate once our love was strong. And it was like, are you sure you want to leave? You have these matches.
And you were like, and Jubu is one of the matches.
And we were like 80-something percent, which I would say is about right.
Aww.
For our current love. But I was like, but before that, girl, I did some fucking Craigslist.
Did
okay?
You?
Can you imagine it? Can you believe I'm alive? Can you believe
I'm
alive?
Wait, how many men have you met up with on Craigslist?
Oh, my God. You know, Jubu don't even know about this. He gonna listen to this, and we're gonna have to have a talk. I mean, oh, God. I'd say, like, I probably went out with maybe 5 or 6, but
okay.
I was addicted to, like, because I would play SBF, okay? Single black female.
Okay, yes.
Seeks, you know what I mean? Like, and I would do different ads to, like, pull in my different. I felt like it was better to be specific.
Did you
in each
only
ad.
Answer ads, or did you put up ads?
I put up and let them come to me. I didn't just, like, answer
anybody. Did you put
anybody.
Your picture up?
Yes.
Oh, girl.
And I know.
This is,
And I remember, like, writing in something where it was like, you know, email me first because I need to make sure you're not my boss, ha, 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 or something. Because I was, like, afraid. But I had, like, I literally had a picture. I was like, I did that, okay? So we're talking, like, 2006.
You are a risk taker, inspirational, brave Ebony Princess, because...
Oh, it was insane.
I answered ads, but I would never put a picture of myself up. But also, I don't think I could ever figure it out.
What do you mean?
I don't, like, on my computer, I don't know. I'm pretty computer illiterate.
Huh.
And in, that would be like 2008 times, 2009-ish, I have no idea how to put a picture on my computer. I do not know. I guess I could grab one from the Facebook.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I don't know. How do I save it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm dumb, is what I'm trying to say. I'm too dumb.
Which makes you an inspiration.
Thank
to
you.
Us all, because you are a success story.
Yeah, you could be successful with nothing in your brain. Nothing but just fucking peanuts rattling around.
Were any of the dates that you went on good?
Oh, my God, no. Like, the one time I definitely thought I was going to be murdered, and glad I wasn't. No, okay, and it was, like, and it was so funny, because it was, like, again, like, after I graduated college and was back in New York, and it was a little bit of, because I'm from New York, so it wasn't like I was adjusting to the city, but it was my first time being there as an adult who could go wherever they wanted, you know what I mean? So there were certain times I know I'd be, like, I was meeting with some dude, I feel like he was, like, an NYU grad student, because we met down in the West Village, and we had gone back, and, like, we sat having a drink or whatever. And it was like, you're cute, but you're, like, kind of an asshole. I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever had that thing where you're like, I'm going to turn this asshole. I'm going to get this asshole sprung on me.
A lot of men I meet where I'm like, I don't think I like you, but I could grow to like you if I mold you in my image. All right, where are my gloves? I need to get to work.
Polymer clay and
it's
several metals.
So silly that, like, I feel like a man can meet a woman and immediately be like, no.
Right.
Or, like, I'll just fuck him. Or, like,
this
bitch is dumb. But, like, I feel like women, I don't want to generalize, but I feel like a lot of times we're like, I can turn this negative into a positive. If I do enough work, I can. Yes, we can. Obama was right. Yes, we can change him into the man I want.
Did you go to school, like, middle school, high school? Like, were you one of the few black kids or was it not? Okay.
Very, very few black kids.
But also, then, how did that also affect your dating?
Well,
and, like, that early, you know, that early middle school, high school, like, pseudo-sexual, you know, when you're kind of doing that? How was that for
you? My mom, anytime I would tell my mom everything, and I would tell her I had a crush on somebody, and she'd be like, well, you might have a crush on them, but don't get too upset if it's not reciprocated. And I'd be like, what do you mean? She's like, a boy might say he likes you, but, like, I don't think he's going to bring you home to his family, you know,
girl,
with your little black ass.
My mother did the same. Like, when I decided to go to, she, like, ran, like, got in her head after literally years of sending me to fucking Dalton on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. She was like, you got to go to a historically black college. And I was like, I do. And then when I didn't choose that. And she was like, well, Naomi, I'm just sad for you because I don't think you're going to have any boyfriends or have any experiences.
Oh, no.
If you go to, like, she legit was like, no one will love you.
Oh, no.
So yeah, that same thing.
Well, I think our moms, I think people forget that like segregation was literally, what, 47 years ago? Or like 57 years? It was not that long ago. Those people are all still alive. My great aunts who are like in their 60s, 70s, remember segregation because they lived through it. So I think when my mom was telling me shit like that, it wasn't to hurt my feelings. Right. It was like, this has been my experience with white people and this might be yours because all those people who were for segregation are now, or like who also lived through it, are now parents.
Right, exactly. What are they teaching
kids?
Their
what
kids?
Are they teaching
right.
their
That's
kids?
That's what they assume. Of course. I mean, well, my grandma, she got, Andy got to meet my grandma before she died. But she came, she was like, my grandma lived to be 98, fucking picked cotton in Mississippi, you know, as a girl. And then like she, homegirl paid for her own funeral and cut every grandkid a check. Okay. So
yes,
she did
bitch,
it.
You did
You know
it.
What I'm saying? So she was like that person. But even with all that, she was like a teacher. When she met Andy and he came around, she was so like, she would just like look at him and laugh. Like by then she's like 96, 97. And she would just be like, look at him over there. Is he okay? And then we'd be like, he's doing fine, grandma. And then she'd be like, do his people like you? Do his people like you is the question. And I was like, and then Andy said that, he was like, they like her more than me. My grandmother thought that was the funniest thing she had ever fucking heard.
Well,
and
probably she, because she has had so few positive interactions with white people. Yes. Oh, goodness.
And it was just like too good. She was like, his people.
Do his people like you? That is so fucking funny.
But it's also like, I feel like I was asking you about that too, that high school, middle school stuff, because it does, I think, impact the way we think about dating and guys and stuff, because we didn't learn we were desirable till later.
Yeah, I guess growing up, I didn't find myself desirable because I wasn't. I made some real questionable fashion choices,
like
hair
what?
Choices.
Tell me your fashion choices.
Well, I think it was sixth grade. I was obsessed with an oatmeal colored sweater and I begged my mother for an oatmeal colored sweater. And then she bought me these dark flare jeans from Old Navy.
Uh-huh.
And I wore them with some Steve Madden fucking stompers, like a 6-inch heel with like a big chunky front.
Oh.
You couldn't tell me I wasn't cute. No foundation, bumpity bump pimples. You better believe I had a clip-on fucking ponytail.
Yes!
Hair slicked back, different texture than the ponytail.
Always.
You better believe I had some blue Clinique eyeshadow on.
Blue Clinique?
Yes, girl. No foundation. Like,
so just blue eyeshadow.
Just blue eyeshadow and just a touch. Mommy can't know I'm wearing it. And I looked bad, but like you couldn't tell me I wasn't everything.
But see, I love that at least you were like, I am winning. I was like, so where you were giving us like, you were trying to serve us like early Ariana Grande with a platform. Girl, I was into very much sixth grade. It was a wide leg jean, an oversized Mickey Mouse sweatshirt in an array of colors. All right. I was big on Mickey Mouse. And always in a ponytail of my own natural hair that I couldn't be bothered to do anything to. I've always been very hair lazy. Like,
but
either
your hair
braid
looks
it or
so
don't touch it.
Good. That your hair always looks outstanding. It lies flat. What a dream for all of us. When I was relaxing my hair, because you have a blown out relaxer?
No, relaxer, yeah.
When I was relaxing my hair, it like sometimes would stick out like a teepee. Like my hair, it was so coarse that truly, the hairdresser should have been like, a relaxer is going to do nothing for you. You need to put weight on it if you want it to lay against your face. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're going to have to do more than just the relaxer, my friend, is what she should have said. But instead, I just looked insane for a very long time. And I, like, you couldn't tell me I was in an awkward phase. But looking back, I was like, oh, my awkward phase was years. If not my awkward life and not a phase, because, and then I look completely different from high school to now. Yeah. Like, if you look at pictures of me from high school, you're like, who is she? And then there was one point where I was wearing only red weaves.
Red weaves?
Red weaves, blue contacts.
No,
after my mother died, I was like, I want to break free. And was like, I'm going to wear everything. She said I couldn't. This woman was doing the Lord's work.
She was
by
trying
saying,
to save you from yourself.
Have blue contacts and red hair. You cannot. You are not a rapper. No, you cannot wear a knockoff Louis Vuitton Air Force One sneaker with the rainbow LVs. You cannot do that. And I said, you're dead, lady. I'll do whatever I want.
Looking like a mermaid.
Truly.
Out in these streets.
Yes, and nobody wanted to date that. And I respectfully understand why every man at Middletown High School South was like, no thank you, boo-boo. No thank you. I respect it. I'm here for it. I was too much then. I'm too much now. Now I'm just like, I don't know. We've all been living for a long time. So, like, let's fucking do it.
Yes.
Okay? I'm the most fun you're ever going to have in your life. Okay? Truly, I've gotten to a point where, like, before bed, I'm like, all right, God, like, is it a joke? Like, what, like, do I have to say something special or something? Like, what do I have to do to get a man? I'm perfect.
It's got
to
be like in one of those bad movies where, like, a stand-up bombs on stage and yet somehow gets the big part.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, you need to, like, go on a date and literally uh-huh. start sobbing. Have a full breakdown. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Literally open with just darkness. Oh, God, the torture. And that's going to be the guy.
And then he'll be like, I love this.
Would-
Wait, how did Jubu propose to you? Sorry,
oh,
I'm jumping all over the
so,
place.
It's so not dynamic to the point where I was resentful for a very long time. I can say it now. Ugh, I feel like your listeners are going to be like, who is this ungrateful bitch? No, but I'll tell you. Literally, he just called me in the other room and was like, Naomi, come here. I have a question. And then he came, and then I came in there and he like had the ring box open and he was like, would you marry me?
Aww.
And it was a total surprise, of course. Like, I was literally like, what is happening? What is this? What are we doing?
Uh-huh.
So I was, I mean, the surprise part was there. But I think why initially I was like, what? What? Because he is a, you know, he was somebody who I've been with for so long who, like, would do, like, these elaborate sketch shows
mm-hmm.
and make his own fucking props.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, he is such a creative person and mm-hmm. put all that in there. I go, you couldn't break me off a video? You know what I mean? I was like, you ain't gonna put some of this creativity into the one time you do this in your life?
You're like, you have 6 wigs for one character, and you couldn't put one of those wigs on to propose to me? I get what you mean.
But of course, like, again, like, and that's like, that was of a time, and I think obviously it spoke to, because I was very insecure in the relationship for a long time, you know, having never been in anything that long,
mm-hmm.
both being in these careers where it's like, what are we doing? And do I want to commit to somebody else who's also struggling? Like, all of that was mm-hmm. part of it. You know what I mean? And of course, now if I say, it's like, there is, and also when he describes, he says, he's like, you know, it's actually for that same reason that I said, he's like, everything I do is so fucking orchestrated.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be direct. I want it to be simple. I want it to be me and you. And when he explained that, you're like, well, okay, of course, that's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I can't be mad at you. You know
that
what I mean?
Sweet. I want a public proposal specifically. I don't know if I've said this, but I want it to be like in a restaurant or like
uh-huh.
somewhere public like that.
Yeah.
Where he gets on one knee and then I start screaming and like rolling around on the floor. I'm like, me? You mean marry me? To the point where, like, everyone is like, he shouldn't marry her.
They're gonna think it's an improv everywhere bit.
Yes.
And they're gonna be like, he should walk away.
Yes. And I want someone to stand up and be like, don't marry her. She's bad. And then I want to, like, sit down and, like, just have dinner and have people be like, well, that was too much. I really hated that that just happened. And then we go home and fuck. I don't know. I want it to be public and stupid.
I think that could be arranged. I've never seen a public proposal before, like in real life, you know? I definitely am like, those seem stressful to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially like, you know, in New York where I was, where you're just like, okay, it's anybody's game. I hope mm-hmm. I can steal that ring out your hand.
Yes.
Like, I'm just like, this feels so stressful.
My friend had a public proposal. Our other friend, like, orchestrated it, and I was supposed to be in New York at the time, so I was going to do it, but then I ended up being here, and I think he had someone, like, singing, and then they were watching someone sing, and then her now husband proposed that way? I don't know. It was just, like, on the streets of New York,
yeah.
and people were clapping, and there's video of it.
Well, that's tender. Somebody else just got proposed to. They told me, somebody gave them $200.
What?
And she's, some, oh, I forget, they got engaged, and then somebody on the train, and then some like rich lady gave them $200. Was like, I never ride the subway. That was wonderful.
She thought she was at a show and was tipping somebody at a drag show. That's so funny.
Isn't that so
She's
funny?
She's like, I've never seen an ensemble like this and a lip sync to a proposal like this. Here is your $200 tip. That is so funny. I would love to do anything and just get tipped $200.
Right? That's what I said. I was like, damn, you got to propose up in these streets.
Right? I once got tipped a stupid amount of money because I dropped a bunch of drinks on the table and I like made a joke.
Yeah.
And they laughed really hard at the joke and they were like, you're so funny. Here's lots of money.
What?
And I think they were like, we got to get her out of here. She's too funny to be dropping drinks on people. She also can't seem to balance a tray.
Where was this? In New York?
This
or
was
LA?
In New York. I was working at this place called Pranima. It's on season one, episode two of Kitchen Nightmares. And you can see my old roommate, Jenny. She's featured on the show. They filmed it before I got hired. And I was the worst waitress in the world.
Wow.
And I also used to leave my number on checks of hot boys.
Oh, so you've always been in the game.
Here, this is for the blonde. Or like, this is for the black one of the group. And nobody ever called me. And I think it was like, well, she's bad at this job. She'll probably be bad at the job of being a girlfriend. I don't know. I've always been very bold.
It's good. You're the bold and the beautiful. You have to be. I think as you look, we've all talked about like it is hard out there for a pimp.
Truly. Hard out here for a hoe.
Exactly. So it's like, if it's hard for a pimp, it's sure as shit harder for a hoe. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna take its time. But then what I wonder is, are you balancing yourself? Like, do you tend to like be like, okay, I'm gonna go on a bunch of dates, see who's out in these streets, mm-hmm. and then like pull back for a couple months, or are you just kind of always rolling?
For a while, I was always rolling, always swiping, always trying to get to the next. And then 2019 came, and I said, I'm tired. Also, I don't know what work is going to be bringing me. Everything's kind of up in the air right now with my job, CH. But I know I'm touring a lot. So I'm like, when I'm home for the 5 days working on stuff, and then do I want to spend my evenings doing shows to build material? Or do I want to be going on dates?
Right.
Dates do kind of give you material sometimes.
Sometimes. But it's like, then, it ain't worth the material.
Yeah, on the flip side,
it's
like, it's not
worth it. Are you
claiming
dates on your taxes? You better be making that shit a business expense.
I do.
Ah, yes!
I write off all of my dates.
Yes.
Because I have, and if I get audited, I'll be like, oh, I can tell you that was a date for drinks, and I do this podcast called Why Won't You Date Me? So you gotta go on the dates to get the source material. Yeah, audit me. No, don't. Please.
Do not.
Yeah, IRS, please don't. I'm in the mindset right now of I'm taking a little break.
Yeah.
Because I do anticipate, because right now, you know how like life isn't busy and then it's so much busier than you thought it was ever going to be?
Oh, the worst fucking
It's a little
rhythm.
Confusing.
The worst fucking
yes. This industry and this business has such a rhythm that like you'll never get on beat.
Yeah. I'm always on a 1 and 3.
You truly, you're
I
just
live
like, wait,
on the
what?
1 and 3. Am I going somewhere? Am I staying home?
Yeah.
Now I just know to get fucking trip insurance. I finally learned that.
I mean, if you plan a trip, you will book something. And luckily, I fly with Delta a lot, even though Delta and I fight.
Oh,
I guess
yeah.
I'm in a relationship with Delta. I'm constantly fighting with them.
This is why you don't have time for love in your life. Until you and Delta get free.
Until I get free of Delta. But I, so I'm like a diamond medallion, the highest tier.
That's like all I've ever wanted.
Well, they basically, if I miss a flight or like, I'm like, I'm not, I have to cancel it or whatever. They don't take money from me.
Oh,
so they'll put it in like good. My little bank account with them.
To do more Delta.
And then like little credits. And then sometimes they'll just give me my money back.
Oh my God.
They're very good to me monetarily. But you'll never see me open a blanket on
Ever
Delta.
Again.
Again. Wait, what's one of the worst Craigslist dates you've been on?
Okay, it was, oh God, he wasn't, I don't think he was Craigslist. He was another website that I'm now blanking on the name of that was like before I could keep in all of these. And he saw me, he was like, I saw you out at the bar. But literally he saw me at a bar. When he said what bar he saw me at, I was like, you literally saw me sitting on another man's lap. So very bold, very brave. And but again, I was like, okay. I was like, wow. Because at the time that he wrote me, it was like a month later, too. Mm-hmm. And that guy had gone back to Australia. Girl, don't let me get started on my time in Australia. But
wait, how long were you in Australia?
A little under a year. That was 2008 to 2009.
What part of Australia?
Sydney.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Not knowing what I know.
My condolences
having
to you.
Having been there, I should have been in Melbourne. It was much better for me.
Staying in Sydney for as long as you did. I hated Sydney.
It's very boring for me. And
it's pretty, but people love to touch your hair.
Oh, girl. Okay, but literally, I get to Sydney. I have a job interview, maybe my first week there. I go to the store to buy, like, work pants. You know, I haven't brought that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm reaching on a rack. A white woman touches my arm and goes, ooh, your skin. In these streets at a dim's. She don't know me.
Yep.
You don't know me. And I had braids at the time, mm-hmm. which I'm telling you, that's the best part of anything. You'll find an African to braid your hair no matter where you go. I found the street in Sydney, Australia, where the Africans rolled up. Mm-hmm. It was like the 125th Street of Sydney. And I was like,
I never found that. I'm very jealous.
It was the best. And Newtown was the little suburb. And it was like a strip of African hair salons. And I was like, I'm here.
Good
I get it.
To know for the next time I don't go.
But they would touch my hair. And then people would always ask me, you know, they'd always ask me too. They'd ask me if I was Sudanese, because what they were asking me was if I was a refugee.
Oh, my God.
That would happen a lot. People would think I was a goddamn Fuji up in that country.
Okay.
And then that was also the place where a guy said to me, you're pretty for a black girl. And then when I got mad, he was like, that was a compliment. And that's when I knew I couldn't stay.
Yeah, I'm not. Sydney's bad, I think. No offense if you live in Sydney, but I've just never been touched more than there.
Yeah.
And in like a way where I went to a club, this girl was touching my hair and I was like, can you not? And she's like, I just wanted to feel it. So then I touched hers and she was, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know, touching your strings? What do you mean? What am I doing?
Right.
But also I did a lot of drugs there and that was fun. Also, we went to one bar and it was huge. And I was like, oh my God, I need to get into this other room. And then I couldn't get into the other room because it was a mirror. And my friends... let me walk up to this mirror and try to go through it for like a long time. And then I realized my mistake and was like, I think I'm going to turn around and they're all going to be laughing at me. And I think other people will be too. But I was like, but I can't just stare at this mirror for the duration of our time here. So then I turned around and my friend John was emphatically like pointing and laughing at me.
Like, was he taking footage?
I don't think he took any footage.
Like, they were just letting you.
There was a whole wall of mirrors and I didn't stop at just one.
You kept trying to get in.
I needed to get into that other room and I'm proud to say hadn't taken or drank anything yet.
Oh no!
Like completely sober being like, gotta get into this mirror.
Nicole, that is a humbling moment.
Naomi, it's like, my brain, honestly, it's a struggle every day just to function and be normal. I have a question, Naomi. Would you ever date me?
Oh, my God. Hell yeah, I would date you. I probably couldn't hang. I'm too sad and don't like to drink anymore. But I'd date the shit out of you.
Thank
I would, like,
you.
Come places if you needed me to meet you wherever you were. Like, you having, like, a busy schedule, too, to me, I'm like, it's like catnip for guys. The fact that it's like, I could only see her for one week in a month, like the goddamn army. It would be like, I'd be like, I just have to be there. I just have to be there. This is when she's available. I have to be there.
Well, thank you, Naomi.
Thank you,
Nicole. I would date you.
Thanks.
Do you have anything you'd like to?
Well, you guys, if the sound of my voice didn't upset you and you like a good laugh, why not download Couples Therapy Podcast? Nicole and Sashir were on it together.
We were, because we are a non-sexual couple.
You are.
We are constantly going on vacations together, and I am constantly doing dinner reservations where I say we just got engaged. We went to one restaurant in Miami. Where I told her before we got there, I was like, so on the reservation, I said, we just got engaged and I'm going to fully make up a story when we get there. And she was like, sure. We get there and the lady's like, we're celebrating an engagement. And I said, yes, I proposed to her today on a jet ski and the ring dropped into the ocean, but she doesn't care because she loves me. And Sashir slowly turned to me. I think fully forgot that I was going to make up something. It was very fun. And then I embarrassed her a bunch more at dinner. Okay, so couples therapy podcast. You also do a live show at the Virgil.
Yes, first Saturday of every month.
It's very fun. You should go. The Virgil, if you're in LA, is in Silver Lake. And then you wrote for, what is the name of the show?
HBO show called Mrs. Fletcher, starring Katherine Hahn. Woman's son leaves for college.
Mm-hmm.
And they
both get some lessons.
That's what I say. They both get some lessons.
Yes, yes, that's a log line, everybody. So, yeah. Also, what's the other show? What did I say? Great News?
Oh, yeah. But that's on the Netflix season two. Why not?
Watch it on the Hulu. Watch it where you can stream it so we can get Naomi her residuals.
Hello. Trying to pay for a wedding.
Yes, that I'd like to get invited to. If you liked this episode of Why Won't You Date Me? Like it. Rate it on iTunes. Subscribe. Listen all day long. And if you send me a nasty thing hitting on me, I'll read it. This person emailed me at my, I have an email address, baconcansave@gmail.com. Sometimes when I'm bored, I will respond to people. But lately I've been getting too many and that's why I haven't been responding. But this person, her name is Melanie. She wrote, I want to suck your clit so hard that whole fat chocolate milk squirts out. Thank you for your time, Ms. Buyer. And that really made me happy. Okay, this is what a man named Ryan said to me.
Ooh.
He's not hitting on me, but he's giving me some advice. I have been listening to your podcast.
Uh-huh.
I think he meant listening, but that's okay. Why Won't You Date Me? I like that he told me which one.
Right.
It's super clear why you don't have a boyfriend. You're not an honest person, and you set up roadblocks for yourself. You don't have to change your personality. If you did, that would truly be the saddest thing. But it's clear to me why your profiles are failing you. If you want me to explain, call. And then he gave me his number.
Nah.
And then said, after 6 p.m. NYC, which I think he thinks means Eastern Standard Time, or another number, his job. With the extension.
Oh, shit.
And says, this is my 9-to-6 job. So, like, he works an hour harder than the average person.
Right.
Because I always thought it was a 9-to-5. So.
No, see, Ryan is, like, trying to sell you a 10-disc set. Okay? He's trying to get you on a damn phone and give you a series of audiobooks that will change your life.
I guess so.
As part of a pyramid scheme.
Ryan, I don't think I'm gonna call you, but if you would like to get back into the DMs and let me know more about what you think's wrong with my profiles, please, please slide back into the DMs. Okay. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you.
Bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because,
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support, anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.